welcome to this weekend's episode of Nevada Backcountry on 99.1 and 92.3 FM Talk. Thank you to our show sponsors, Rightful Liberty Arms, Shooting Performance Institute, Battleborn Tree Care, and Truck Envy. Without further ado, we have a special guest in studio today. However, Dave, we got a little bit of housekeeping to deal with. I sent you a text. It is that time of year. I am getting the... What's the social media for neighborhoods?
Oh, Nextdoor.
Nextdoor. Okay, I'm getting the Nextdoor notifications. I'm seeing the posts on Facebook groups, on and on and on and on. It's coyote breeding season.
We're getting into that urban wildlife year where...
Time of year where they're
time
out
of year
about.
Where it's not only coyotes, it's raccoons, skunks, it's everything starting to move around, you know,
yes.
And it's just a product of our yearly cycle.
Are they wolves?
No.
Okay.
Absolutely not. I know.
Are they rabid?
No, they are not rabid. They.
I get those notifications
yes.
Every day. Wolf sighting, rabid coyote, who do I call? Do I call 911? On and on and on. So before we get to our special guest today, drop some knowledge on me about the coyote wildlife situation this time of year.
Well, you know, big thing is when you do see them, you don't need to approach them. You don't need to do anything in that fashion. They're probably just as scared as you as you are of them. They will eventually, at times, if they start coming in a bunch, they'll become fairly acclimated to the human habitation. Their biggest draw to our urban environment, because, you know, we have now encroached into their habitat, and we're pinching them out of their habitat, so their habitat loss and our expansion. But what's bringing them in, the biggest draw, is the ease to food.
Okay, and what do you mean by that?
Ease to food, people taking their garbage out too soon, people having their cat food or dog food outside, or their shih tzu ends up being food.
Bingo.
Shih tzus and cats and everything else that they feed on. Primarily just garbage and everything that we seem to think it's okay to leave outside.
Okay.
You know, they take advantage of that. Not only that, but then that brings in the rabbits. Rabbits will sit there and feed on your lawn. If you have a halfway decent lawn or a garden, that's going to bring in the rabbits. That's going to bring in the squirrels. That's going to bring in the small mammals. That's going to bring in part of their prey base.
So for those of you listening that maybe aren't outdoors people, no need to panic. It happens every single year. I won't do my typical thing. I like to get on my soapbox and badmouth the Bay Area crowd moving over. It's not just them. It's just...
It's just city dwellers,
I'll call
them. Well, it is our expansion in, you know, going further into what we would have called 25 years ago would have been way outside of town.
Yeah, yeah. McMansion and Arrow Creek seemed rad on paper. Now you got bears and coyotes and raccoons and everything
else. Yeah, I mean, Somerset's a good one. North Valleys is a good one. You know, you keep encroaching into their habitat. They're not going to just go like, oh, man, I guess I'm not allowed to be there. They're going to come in. There's a few factors that cause them to then pretty much stay in some of these areas. It's fewer natural predators when they're in these areas. They love golf courses. They love city parks. The safe shelter options, because they've got these green belts now that we've created through the park systems and these corridors. They can run up and down those green belts all day long. You have these drainage tunnels. You have the culverts. You know, you have these overgrown lots that we seem to just abandon for a while until somebody comes along and buys it and
develops it.
You know, they'll use those areas as safe havens. Them not having that natural predator any longer, you know, or at least a high probability of encountering that predator, they're like, hey, man, this is sweet. I'm sticking around in this place.
Yeah, so there you go. There is housekeeping for this weekend's episode. Now, Jamie Royce Gomes, I got that right?
Yep, you got that right.
Okay.
Nailed it.
The PIO, Public Information Officer, Publications Coordinator for Nevada Department of Wildlife.
Yes, sir.
I got it all.
You got it all.
Look at that. All right. Jamie is our special guest today. And the reason you're here, there are some big changes coming to the hunt book this year.
Correct. So the department has combined both hunting, big game hunting regulations into one. And so in March, typically we send out a big game seasons and applications book.
Okay.
And then again in May, we send out another book after the quotas are set, and it's called the Seasons and Regulations, and it has those updated quotas.
Right.
And so they're basically the same publication. One of them just has the updated quotas. And so in efforts to save a big chunk of money and employee effort time, we combine both. And so this year, it's actually kind of different. We're only having one book coming out in March. And then once quotas are set, we'll update the online e-regulations.
And that's actually coming out tomorrow, right?
Correct.
March 9th?
March 9th.
Okay. Yep. And it's coming out just e-regs.
Mm-hmm. So you can go on e-regs and you can search for 2026 big game regulations, and it'll show up on e-regs and you can have it. Again, if you have any regs that are mailed to you, be sure to keep that copy because we're not going to send you a second one.
When will it actually come out in print?
So print, it's a little funky. It'll just be that second week of March.
And that's when we'll see like at Sportsman's and mm-hmm. Shields and all. Okay.
Or if you have it mailed to you, to your own house, people that have applied, they'll get a magazine mailed to them. So
I'll put you on the spot. Good thing or bad thing?
I think it's a great thing.
Okay.
I mean, it definitely saves the department a big chunk of funds and time and effort. And so we were basically creating the same thing. So let me run you through what I used to do. I would start editing the process for the big game seasons and applications regulation book in December. Then we'd have it come out in March. And then right after that, I'd have to turn around and start editing another book, which they're basically the same thing, but one of them just has updated quotas.
Gotcha.
And so we're saving a lot of time and effort, definitely.
All right, Dave, you want to play devil's advocate, or are you on board with it too?
No, I'm actually on board with it because, like Jamie said, it's saving the agency a significant amount of money that now can be utilized in other areas of either education programs or outreach programs that may have been needing a little bit of extra funding to go to that next step. So it's a benefit. Plus, you've got these two books. In today's age, everyone grabs their phones. How often, when was the last time you were at the library to say, oh, I better go grab the newspaper? Okay.
Right.
It's not happening. So that expense of that second booklet, just over time with, you know, the innovation of all of the things that are going on and the social media and everything else, that book just kind of didn't seem to be getting distributed as it used to, say, 15 or 20 years ago. So combining that into the first book, and then allowing folks to get online to view the upgraded or new quotas or chosen quotas and stuff is kind of a no-brainer. My opinion.
Count me in then. Sounds good.
Count you in.
Like I get a vote. Yeah. Sounds good. Now, Jamie, when you say editing, how many people do you have working with you?
Oh, my gosh. There's a big chunk of us. So all of my salary and time would be spent editing. But then there's also 14 other people on this who are reviewing, who are editing, who are adding. And so if we were to consider a dollar amount, we're considering all those other people's salaries. And I'm the lowest one on the totem pole, right? So we are saving a huge chunk of money, definitely.
Is your oversight just the book itself, or do you actually get into the wording of regulations in there?
I personally do not. Other employees who come in and tell me, okay, this regulation has changed and this is that's what the wording is. And so then I'll change it on the book.
Are you a hunter?
Actually, I've just started.
Oh,
now
no
that you
kidding.
Mention it. Yeah.
Okay, good. We have got to take a quick break. Do not go anywhere. Stay tuned to 99.1 and 92.3 FM Talk. And when we come back, pick your brain a little about your hunting experience and then also some further changes coming up this year for the hunt book. We're back on Nevada Backcountry on 99.1 and 92.3 FM Talk. Special guest in studio today is Jamie Royce Gomes, the PIO Publications Coordinator. Boy, that's a mouthful. From Nevada Department of Wildlife. Changes to the hunt book. Over the break there, we got talking. Dave, you had a question about something about removing.
Yeah, I mean, because the two books were pretty sizable. So I was kind of curious, like, what was taking out of each book so we don't have a, you know, like a 200-page. Did you guys have to go through that and pull out all the duplicated stuff and then what have you?
Yeah, we did. It was a process, right? Because in the Seasons and Applications book, it's typically just the applications information. And in the Seasons and Regulations book, it has the updated quotas, but it also, it doesn't have as much application information and it has more about regulatory things.
Right.
So we definitely had to, I had to do like arts and crafts and cut out and paste and combine both of those. So we had to, we wanted to organize the book in a way for individuals who haven't yet hunted.
Oh, nice.
And so we have, it starts off with licensing and tags. Costs, and then it goes through the application process, then we go to seasons and quotas, and then laws and regulations. We did end up deleting the sunrise and sunset tables. Typically, people can just look on their phone for those.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
Just because this is such a massive book, and we've combined two books together, and we needed to cut things. We're also not having as many articles. The only articles that we have in there are stuff like CWD, chronic wasting disease information updates, and also just to call the hunters to be cognizant of hunting on private property.
Yeah, and then, like, is there still a section in there, new regulations?
We've covered it on the show, like emerging technology
stuff.
Yeah,
and all the stuff that kind of comes out that we try to let people know and be aware of. Like,
definitely.
So, okay, cool.
Yeah, so, and those things will be in blue italicized so that you know that that's a new regulation.
That's a new element,
How's it laid out? When you say application process, I'm assuming applications information. You're talking about hunt number whatever, and then it has like the season dates and all that stuff, how it was traditionally laid out, right? So when we would do our application party, Dave, we'd sit down and we'd look at it and go, okay, hunt number whatever is cow elk, these dates, this unit.
Right.
And then in that same section, you're going to have the regulations for that, or is it two separate sections?
Yeah, it's two separate sections. So that would be seasons and quotas. You know, it'll show like, you know, when the hunt is, where the hunt is, what species.
And the hunt code.
And the number of previous years.
The previous years.
Okay. Or quota, whatever that means.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And so we just separated it. So we noticed that over the years we had, you know, had like, oh, well, this is important information regarding this regulation, and this is going to be on page 3. However, we noticed that all regulations should be on, you know, page, I don't know, 45 to 50 or whatever.
Right.
We really wanted to organize it, make it more of an easier read. Yeah.
Okay. So make it easier. You know, it's something I take for granted, or I think you do too, Dave. We did our hunt application party last year with a couple new hunters, and I always forget how convoluted it can be. You know, I rip through and I've got my like, well, this one I'm putting in for bull elk, this one I'm putting in for yada, yada, yada. And I just kind of rip through it and I know like, okay, this hunt, this unit, so on and so forth. But you're absolutely right. New hunters don't know that stuff. So you'll ask them like, hey, what do you want to put in for this? Well, yes, I want to put in for that. And it's like, okay, but there's a few other little details we got to get in there. So it is a little more streamlined and I'll call it user-friendly this year.
Yes, okay. Definitely. And as a new hunter, I understand it more. I actually just put in for the first time last season because, you know, I wanted to be able to put in and know what I'm doing. And it actually has helped me with my job. So,
well, it's probably helped you kind of format this new book as well, because you're you being a new hunter and not knowing, like, we can all get together, you know, Henry and I and our friends and such, and we'll sit there and rip units out like no problem. Like, oh, yeah, 161. Oh, no. Yeah. And you just keep going in this massive conversation of numbers and hunts and stuff. And, you know, a new hunter is going to look at you like you're talking Arabic or something.
I've noticed doing this show, too. I take for granted my social circle outside of work is all, and not all, but almost exclusively hunting based. So I can say unit 16.
And everybody knows.
And everybody knows what I'm talking about, or unit whatever. That's something I think I need to get away from, because it is so, I don't want to call it piecemealed, but now, as you probably know, being new to it, 161, 162, one, and it's not just unit 16 anymore. But I think that is kind of the common vernacular in hunting circles still.
Yeah.
Personally, Jamie, how do you feel about it as far as understanding what units are what?
Oh, I mean, I'm still learning for sure. I can't tell you that I know exactly what unit you were talking about, but okay. But when you know, I applied and I got a first come first serve tag, I would tell people like, oh yeah, I got it in the 07s, you know?
Right, right. Okay.
So I just.
Unit 7 up there.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, right. Yeah. And then if you want to, you can narrow it down. Oh, it's 072, 073, whatever. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Gotcha. Okay.
Now the map is still in the book.
Yes.
Like the fold out map, okay.
Correct. Yeah. We still have the fold out map and we just altered it to add in CWD.
The polygon for where it is and the areas that need to be. Because that's something else, everyone out there. This, during the season, if you've got those areas that are highlighted in the CWD and you do end up harvesting an animal, those animals have to be checked in. And we'll be going into that in a much greater detail in a later show as we get closer to the season and stuff. But we're going to keep pounding that because we do not want CWD coming through our state. So anyway.
Definitely not. Just,
yeah. No detections, if I could sidebar for a minute. No detections this past season?
No, not that I know of.
Okay. Not that we know of. Cool. Yeah. But they're still going to do the TRZ zone. So we still have that zone where it's located on the map, just so hunters know where it is.
Same units as last season?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that whole border, that whole rim.
Yeah.
Right
okay.
There, yeah. So.
Okay.
So when the book does come out, so it's getting some things removed, are you looking for the general public to give you comments on it? Like, hey, man, this is really great, but I really miss this being in the book, that kind of a thing.
I am open to suggestions, to be honest. Okay. Like, I think that things are going to be made better if they're challenged. And I would love to know what people think, what other things should go on there that they suggest. What I love to crowdsource to are pictures. So not only do I do the big game publication, I do the small game, I do the fishing rigs. I'm always looking for pictures.
Okay.
And so in almost all the rig books, I have like a little picture area where people can submit photos. There's a place on our website. You go on the homepage down at the bottom. You can submit photos. I'm always looking for high quality Nevada. It could be small game, big game, harvest pictures. It could be landscape photos. I'm always looking for wildlife photos. Those could be featured on the rig books. So I really want to put a call to action for that. I'm looking for pics all
the time. Where do you put those? Where do you submit them if you have them?
So it's on our website on the homepage.
Okay.
Go down to the bottom of the homepage, it's on the footer, and it says submit your photos and click there. On the fishing rig book and the small game book, I do have a QR code, and folks can just scan that and then upload their photos from their phone. But I didn't end up putting that in the big game book. There's so much stuff in there.
Right.
I couldn't find space. Maybe we can find space next year, but always looking for photos.
So maybe I misunderstood, especially since this is coming out tomorrow. If you want a photo in the print version, you can still go on and submit?
You can submit for big game, but it'll have to go in the queue for next year. But
oh,
for this one,
gotcha.
It's
okay.
Already submitted for print. But anytime you can submit photos. Like we just have a queue of photos that we draw from.
Okay.
But I'm always looking for high quality Nevada photos.
We're going to do a sneak peek. You heard it here first. What is on the cover this year?
So we are having desert bighorn sheep down in southern Nevada in the Red Rocks. That's our picture.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah.
Okay. Red Rock Canyon there just outside of Vegas.
Yeah.
Heading up towards Pahrump.
Oh, okay.
The Red
That's
Rock.
Not, I'm thinking
Red
about.
Red Rock Canyon, or where are you talking?
Red Rock out west of Vegas. There.
Oh, yeah.
Not
yeah.
that.
No.
All right. Never mind. Desert Bighorn on the cover this year, coming out tomorrow. So everybody, you can get on the e-regs. You can check that out. Will it be emailed out or no?
We're going to stick it on social media. We will, maybe we'll do a, I'm not sure if we're going to do an
e-blast.
We might, but it's going to be at sportsmen's places.
Okay.
The vendors, it'll be mailed out if you've applied.
Yeah, it'll be out at Hunting House. It'll be at Shields. It'll be at
Endow offices.
Do some of those other locations still receive the books?
They do, yeah.
Oh, okay.
We've got a whole slew of them.
It's just behind glass, and you got to find an employee to get it for you.
Yeah, they're They're locking up my toothpaste.
All right. Hey, we have got to take a quick break. Do not go anywhere. Stay tuned to 99.1 and 92.3 FM Talk. And we are back on Nevada Backcountry on this Sunday, only on 99.1 and 92.3 FM Talk. If you miss a segment of the show or you're furiously jotting notes down to figure out the new hunt book regs, you can always go to 991fmtalk.com, click on the podcast tab, all past episodes are there. If you are an Apple user, we are also available on Apple Podcasts. Special guest in studio today is Jamie Royce Gomes, the PIO Publications Coordinator from Nevada Department of Wildlife. Let's see, what was the don't throw it away? Is that?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Please don't throw it away. People are typically used to getting two of these books.
Right.
We're only sending out one. So please keep your copy.
So do not throw them away when they get mailed to you. Let's do the article thing. I got a question about that because I like some of those articles. You said it takes up too much space. You got rid of it. How many were in there last year?
For example, last year we had an article about the first ever moose hunt in the state of Nevada.
Right.
And, you know, we're not going to have that.
Are we not going to have it printed in the book? Are we still going to have it available on, say, our website under something on our website like people in the field, or
we'll probably promote
like
that type of stuff on social media.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
But yeah, those type of articles aren't going to be.
Yeah, because I agree with Henry. I really enjoyed reading.
I like them.
I like reading those stories about like the first kid. You know, parents, everyone goes out and he gets his first deer, or she gets her first antelope, and it's just that feel good thing. It's kind of like, all right, man. It's cool to see that people are telling their story and motivating others. I really dig them.
Well, and selfishly, too, I'll say, how many times have you gotten out to hunting camp and I've always got the book in the back,
like, oh, yeah,
back of the truck or whatever. You get out there, you get camp set up. Day three, it's a slow hunt or whatever. It's like, well, at least I got something to read. And so I'm a fan of the articles personally, but I understand if we're saving money for conservation of wildlife, I'll go there, maybe. Yeah.
And I'm such a dork. I have last year's book still in my truck, and I'll replace it when I get the new one.
It's well, there
just,
you go.
It's just something weird I do. I don't know why. I don't know why. It sits in right there in my truck with all my little tabs on it from where I marked it all up for the hunting season.
Yeah, exactly. We've covered kind of layout stuff, but what can people expect as far as any other changes being made this year?
Still have the director's notes?
We still have the director's message.
Yes. That's it. Director's message. That's
well,
important.
You can that. I'd rather have the articles. No, I'm sorry. You guys, I just got daggers shot at me.
No, Alan's always got some good stuff to put in there.
I agree.
Yeah,
I agree.
He's got some good stuff.
Just give me some tags.
Yeah.
I didn't say that. So director's message is still in there. You guys usually do a couple pages of sponsorship stuff.
We do. And okay. So the reason why we have sponsorships is because it actually lowers the cost.
Gotcha. And that's still in there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So these are the ads that you sell. Now that you've got one book instead of two, is that affecting the funds coming in for the ads, or are the funds for the ads pay for the book itself? So you're really just getting rid of the one book, and since you're not printing it anyway.
Yeah. The funds come from the ads, and I mean, it's not really impacting that.
Gotcha.
We still have, Endow still has our own ads. I don't know if you've noticed. We'll promote Hunter's Ed or we'll promote
Mason Ortiz and that kind of stuff. Yeah.
You mentioned, I can't remember if it was the first or second segment, that you always welcome feedback.
I do, yeah.
Okay. How do you want to give out your home address or where are we going with this? Where do people go to give feedback?
Probably info.
Info?
Would it be info? Something Endow something.org. It's something like that.
Oh, something like that. Yeah. Okay.
I actually don't know what that email is. Yeah. It's
where people email in for like, hey, I have a coyote in my backyard. So it'll be like info like, hey, I just saw this bird yesterday. What kind of bird is this? And they'll send a picture and then then it generally comes to me.
Oh, perfect. That's why I don't know about that.
Yeah.
Well, I know. So I bring that up because In years past, Dave, however, what have we been doing this? 3 years or something now? You've always mentioned that this time of year is just kind of headache inducing for, oh, hey, you guys didn't do this, or I want this, or so on and so forth. So it sounds like that process is still status quo as far as an info at or call the main office, something like that to give feedback.
Yeah, and you know, well, we can hunt that down. We can hunt down the right email address to send any concerns or comments and stuff, and then we can repost that for that.
Definitely.
We don't want to hand out our emails.
Okay.
That would be tragic.
Yeah. Personal home address, cell phone number, socials. Yeah,
that stuff. But no, I mean, I think it's going to be a great change. I think it's going to be very beneficial, not only for the department and being able to now take those funds and utilize them in other areas, which is very vital right now, especially with the educational outreach. We have so many different programs going on.
Okay.
But also just the usability of it. It's all going to be compact into one book. As long as you don't throw it away, do not throw it away. It's all going to be compact into one book. And, you know, it sounds like it's pretty well organized to where the certain sections.
Now, let me back up and forgive me if this has been answered. But the quotas, normally, like, you apply, right? And then you get the second thing with the quotas and all of that stuff. That's still going to be separate?
What do you mean?
Okay, so in previous years, we had one regulation book that came out in March.
Right.
And then after the quotas were set, then we'd have another regulation book come out in May. And so this year, we've combined both of those books. However, once those quotas are set in May, then we'll update our e-rigs, so the regulations that are online, with those new updated quotas.
Right.
And so if folks want to know, they can just, you know, do a quick internet search, look for e-rigs 2026, big game, and it'll be in May.
Here were the tag number cuts. Here were the
have those new quotas.
Yeah, whatever it might be. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So basically, the department is keeping the March book, eliminating the May book.
Gotcha.
Not eliminating it, but combining it with the March book. So the quotas that will be set in May will not be in the book. You'll have to go online to view those.
And why I'm asking, we were talking over the break, I still have those people that will say, like, well, I'm waiting to apply until I know the quotas for this, or I want to see what's happening with this hunt or that hunt or whatever.
Right.
And don't do that because the quotas come out after you've already applied. So there's zero point in waiting on quotas, but I just wasn't sure how the quotas were going to be published, or, and maybe that's the wrong word, but how they were going to be disseminated.
They'll be online. So there's always an online e-rig version.
Gotcha.
And whenever I make edits to it, I'll update it. And then when folks look it up online, then they can have those dates.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Because you can start putting in for tags in March. And then you have to have all your tags in, or your application in, by, I think it's May 18th, I think, somewhere around that date. So the commission for doing the quotas is in the beginning of May. If they did want to wait till those quotas came out, they may or may not hear what the quotas are before the May deadline for your tags.
And threaten the needle.
We get
that
every
point.
Year. Yeah, we get it every year. People want to see, well, I, you know, with the
I
recent
don't
fire
in for this
with
big
this,
horn
yeah,
hunt if, yeah,
you know, and they you know, they follow the, you know, the weather patterns basically. Oh, there's a lot of snow. There's a lot of rain. There's a fire. I want to see if they've cut the tags, if they've increased it. There are. You know, every year there are changes in dates, there's changes in quotas, changes in all kinds of different elements based on environmental factors. With this particular change for just the hunt books, is there any plans on making any changes to any of the other publications that are out there right now, the fish reg or the fish book or anything else?
No.
Those are the same.
Yep, same as usual.
All right, that's a stand.
This was the only publication that had two regulation books that would come out.
Well, it's rather in depth. I mean, the argument could be made it probably needed to, but it sounds like you've eliminated some of that. And so now we can get away with one. Do not go anywhere. Coming up next on the show is my favorite segment to have guests in studio for. We're going to talk about the hunts you applied for. what hunts you went on, whether or not you were successful, unsuccessful. I hate that very black and white description of them, because every hunt to one degree or another is fairly successful in my book. Keep those radios tuned to 99.1 and 92.3 FM Talk. Hey, final segment of Nevada Country on this Sunday. Hunt books are coming out tomorrow on E-Regs, so make sure you stay tuned for that. And then big thank you to Rightful Liberty Arms, Shooting Performance Institute, Battleborn Tree Service, and Truck Envy for sponsoring the show. Now, like I alluded to in the last segment, this is my favorite part of the show anytime we get a guest in here, Jamie. I'm going to put you on the spot with hunting stuff. What did you get last year for tags?
What did I get? So I put in, I didn't get anything. So then I just sat there at first come, first serve and looked. And I was actually, I was at work. I was talking to somebody.
Don't tell anybody.
I happened to get off.
Yeah.
And then I saw there was a tag and I clicked and I got it. And this is the very first time. I've never hunted before, but I've always wanted to.
Did you know what it was when you clicked?
Or I just knew that it was mule deer.
Oh, okay.
And I was advised to not go for, you know, a further away area. And of course, it was in the OC. I didn't care where it was. I was going to go.
You can't go too much further than the sevens.
And so I went there. I had never, right, you only have like a couple weeks. I had already scheduled a vacation with my family. I didn't have much time to prepare. But I found a lot of people that would let me borrow stuff. And every morning I would sit there and I'd wake up early. I'd do jumping jacks to mimic.
Oh, getting ready.
Well, hang on one sec. So you went by yourself? Or
I did
with
not.
Other?
I did okay, not. Okay. I went with other people. I found somebody who would take me, and my husband went.
Okay.
My father went too.
And that's who got you into hunting, you were saying, over the break?
Your dad?
So
your
my dad, dad used to hunt.
Okay.
But my sisters were against it, and so he just assumed that I wouldn't like it.
Okay.
And as an adult, I was like, dang it, Dad. We should have gone.
I want to do this, yeah.
And so I was telling somebody at work, and he really pushed me to do it.
Okay.
So, are you the oldest daughter?
I'm the youngest.
Oh, that's why he just kind of set you aside.
Yeah.
Kind of like, oh, the older ones don't like this, it, so she
this,
won't.
This one will figure it out.
Yeah, this one. This, yeah.
So you get a rifle mule deer tag up in
mm-hmm,
seven.
Mm-hmm.
How was the hunt?
Well, let me talk about preparing.
Okay. Sorry.
Like I had never even shot a rifle before, you guys.
Oh.
I mean, I am that green, right? So I would wake up in the morning and I would do jumping jacks to mimic, you know, getting my heart rate up.
Right.
And then I'd sit there and dry fire in my living room just to prepare.
No kidding. Good for you.
And then I would end up, my brother-in-law took me to the shooting range and I went and practiced, did well.
How far could you go? 200?
Yeah.
Okay.
200.
That's okay. Good. It's about my limit.
It's your limit?
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't want to push it to 200, right? I wanted This is my first time, you guys.
You want to get as close as you can.
So I end up taking my dad and we go and we meet a friend out there and she really just helped guide and find the areas that she had gone to and seen deer, and we only had 3 days to go hunting.
Oh, after the family vacation and all
uh-huh.
of that. Okay.
And so I go, we don't see much on the first or second day. And then the third day, I had an opportunity. She put me in the right spot and I didn't go for it. So
didn't pull the trigger.
I didn't do it. And it's not that I couldn't do it. I got spoiled. I thought that the first time this deer popped up, they were bedded down, it popped up, and I was like, oh, I got a lot of time for this.
Oh, no.
And the next one that I really wanted, he popped up, and I thought I had more time. Obviously, I don't. I learned my lesson.
Yeah.
Were you shooting off sticks or anything, or a
tripod? No, I wasn't. And I had just gone to the gym a week earlier, and my wrist was hurting. So it was kind of hard for me to hold my rifle up.
What were you shooting?
A 6.5
Creedmoor?
Creedmoor.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Your rifle?
No, I borrowed it.
Borrowed it.
Okay. Yeah.
So you cobbled together all the equipment?
I cobbled together everything. Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
That is awesome.
Figured it out.
You just went for it.
I just went for it, right? Like, yeah.
Might as well.
Might as well.
Your overall experience on your first hunt with the whole kit and caboodle, what do you give it? A 1 to 10? What do you give
it? Oh, I give it a 10, you guys.
Yeah.
To be honest, I thought that it was more about harvesting. But honestly, it's more about the experience of being outdoors.
100%.
That's what I learned. 100%. And I haven't been in really rural areas in a long time, and it was phenomenal. Just the stress rolled off my shoulders.
Oh, yeah.
It was incredible.
As soon as you see those service bars disappear on the phone,
it's incredible.
Like, oh, perfect. Yeah.
I'll tell you, man. It's,
Take me back to those days when we don't have those cell phones.
Oh,
what
man.
Was your biggest misconception now coming out the back end of it? Prior to going into it, what do you look back on as like your biggest misconception about the hunt?
I think the biggest misconception was like, I thought I would only be successful and enjoy it if I harvested.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And it wasn't. It wasn't about that. It was about the experience. That was my biggest misconception.
So definitely applying this year.
Oh, heck yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
For what?
Well, so my husband actually he's the planner. I'm the one.
Just
who
go.
Just flies by the seat of my pants. And he said, we can't do first come, first serve again. And I said, okay, fine, I won't. So
yeah.
I will.
Even though you will.
Don't tell him that.
Hey, honey, no, actually, it was the third draw that no one knew about. I got it.
Yeah. I always think like, okay, first come, first serve. Like, you don't have a lot of time to scout. You may not know the unit as well, but you just want to go hunt. But I also see like there's that beauty in the way you did it, where you're not going into it thinking like, okay, here's where I saw a deer. You don't have all these things where it's like, okay, this is how it's supposed to be. Because I think back on some of my hunts that were to channel a David Catalano, more challenging. I've been at some of the worst archery shoots I've done, and I'll look over at Dave, and Dave goes, oh, that was really challenging. And I go, no, that just straight up sucked, dude. But okay, we'll go there. Some of those hunts where it's been a challenging experience were always because I had the kind of preconceived notions. I had scouted a lot. I had seen animals. I had found an animal I wanted to kill. And then I got out there and it had dramatically changed through environmental stuff or whatever. So there is that purity in the way you did it of just like, I got this tag. I'm going to go see what I see and hopefully
we're going to figure
it
out.
Yeah.
And I really thought I was going to have that opportunity, because it's like, you know, the people who have all this time to prepare, sometimes they don't end up gets harvesting.
Right.
However, there's
right.
those individuals who get the first come first serve off the, you know, seat of their pants, and they get it.
Yeah.
I think another Jamie that we had on the show, Martinez, she had a depredation or something.
The elk.
Yeah, she had a depredation elk or something. I don't know I think it was a first come, first serve, her deer tag too. And yeah, she went 100%.
She got everything.
Yeah, got everything, got it done. And then guys like me who knew the unit really well, everything, and then got environmental stuff thrown at us, other people kind of screwed up our plans. Yeah. And so there you go. I ate
tag
soup last
season. It was a lot of fun. It was a challenging event.
Yeah. Exactly.
No, that was a great hunt. That was a lot of fun, your cow elk hunt.
Yeah. Oh,
awesome.
And your bull hunt too. But
yeah.
So I don't know. Maybe I'll take a harder look at first come, first serve if I don't draw this year.
I'm really anticipating not, because I've been so lucky over the last few years. Well, besides my moose tag, which I'll receive this year.
Yeah. Okay. Dude.
But other than that, I'll be looking at first come, first serve for a deer tag or something.
Yeah.
Horns shorter than ears.
Oh, absolutely.
God knows what. Yeah.
First season under your belt. Congratulations, Jamie.
Oh, thank you.
Are you sticking
That's
with
awesome.
Rifle?
Yeah, I'm going to stick with rifle.
You're going to stick with rifle? All right.
I mean, maybe archery. Yeah. It's pretty awesome.
You know, yeah. Oh, duh.
Duh.
It's pretty awesome.
Duh. It's super mega awesome.
Before we wrap up, because we've got to go in a minute here, can you one more time rip through the picture submitting stuff? I know feedback was kind of a gray area. We stumbled on that, but Dave and I will cover that on future episodes of the show. And then any last little things you want to leave listeners with as far as changes to the hunt book, things that people should prepare for?
Yeah. So again, we're combining both regulation books into one. And once you get your copy, be sure to hold on to it. Don't throw it away, because you won't get a second. I mean, you could go out to Endel office
or
a vendor
or
and get something, but
right.
just keep in mind you won't be getting a second one. And then as far as photos, I'm always looking for photos for all of the regulations, whether it's small game, big game, fishing rigs. I'm looking for high quality Nevada photos. It could be animals that you've harvested or fish that you've caught. It could be Nevada landscape photos. Always looking for wildlife photos. And just submit that on our website. And you just go to endow.org. On the front page, you go to the bottom. And on the footer, it says submit your photo and click right there and you can upload stuff.
And when you say high quality, what do you mean? What do you mean by that? Is there a certain size limit or what?
Yeah. And so I think that just for the general public, just make sure it's not fuzzy. You know, when you take pictures and you hold your phone, make sure your camera's still. Make sure there's no filter on there.
Okay.
So just
and in portraits. The best way to take a photo, I keep being told.
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. Oh, okay.
Yeah. I could always expand a photo.
Gotcha.
So just give me a high quality photo, things that aren't fuzzy.
Take your camera off live, right?
Off live.
Yeah, like
yeah,
that.
You know, on
you
Apple
take a picture,
phones,
it
live.
It shows
a
3-second video of the picture and then the picture.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So when you go to upload them, make sure it's not live. What you want to be in focus is actually in focus. No severed heads, no
gut piles,
stuff like that. Make it as clean and palatable as possible.
I mean, I could Photoshop some of this stuff, but I don't want any gut piles. We're not going to put that in the reg books or on social media.
But pictures of kids' first jackrabbit or stuff like that. You're just kids out and about playing.
Doesn't have to be a 400 class bowl or something.
Correct.
No, doesn't have to be.
No, just good outdoor, happy kind of pictures.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yep.
Perfect. Well, Jamie, sincere thank you for coming in and doing this. Do not go anywhere. Tom Gresham's Gun Talk is coming up next on 99.1 and 92.3 FM Talk.